The Bush administration has long championed the virtues of a prepared military, even more so after the attacks last September. The White House is now calling for billions of dollars in new defense spending as part of an effort to transform the military. From member station WBUR's Inside Out documentaries, Anthony Brooks reports on the Army's effort to build a more agile and responsive fighting force.
Under a light rain and a cold wind, Captain Jerome Morrison is one player in the Army's effort to reinvent itself. Dressed in camouflaged fatigues with mountain green and brown paint smeared across his cheeks, he directs a mortar team at the edge of a firing range at Fort Lewis, Washington, south of Seattle.
These are indirect fire pieces of equipment, basically used against small vehicles, small light-skinned vehicles, or personnel.
This routine practice is now part of a plan to transform the Army, to move from a large, heavy, cumbersome force that spent a half century preparing to fight a massive land battle in Europe against the Soviets to a lighter force, able to deploy quickly to fight the next war anywhere in the world. Brigadier General John Brown is Deputy Commanding General for Transformation at Fort Lewis.
Up through the end of the Cold War, we were focused primarily on having a ground capability that could fight against huge masses of armor on the plains of Europe, a threat that had been identified and we had trained against and built equipment to fight against for decades. Different concept today.
Despite apparent success in Afghanistan, experts say today's U.S. Army is unsuited for its post-Cold War mission. Even the decisive Desert Storm victory against Iraq shows why. When Iraqi tanks thundered into Kuwait, the U.S. Army dispatched the lightly armed 82nd Airborne Division to the desert, then spent 6 months building up its heavy armored forces before eventually routing the Iraqi army. But Lieutenant Colonel Mike Niegard at Fort Lewis says that slow, cumbersome buildup represented a huge risk.
It was by good luck and the grace of God that Saddam Hussein did not attack, because had he attacked with armor against a static, not well protected, not mobile defense in the 82nd Airborne, we're not quite sure what that result would have been.
Another case in point, in 1999, the Army tried to deploy its deadliest attack weapon, the Apache helicopter, to Albania to fight the Serbs. With too much heavy equipment and too little training, Task Force Hawk bogged down in the mud and proved futile. That same year, General Eric Shinseki was inducted as the Army's new chief and pledged to streamline the Army.
Today, our heavy forces are too heavy and our light forces lack the staying power we need. We will address those mismatches.
Here at Fort Lewis, soldiers are leading Shinseki's effort to build a force that combines the agility of light infantry with the punch of heavy armor. It's called the Interim Brigade Combat Team, or IBCT. One of the keys to the IBCTs will be these light armored vehicles, replacing much heavier 70-ton M1A1 tanks. These so-called LAVs ride on wheels instead of treads and are faster, easier to transport, and can go places tanks can't.
Our mission is going to be to secure this town of Jazabar. Is there any questions?
This raid is a standard military exercise, but the speed of the light armored vehicles, the advantage of superior technology and intelligence, and the surgical use of force are supposed to make a difference, at least according to First Sergeant James Kemp.
Speed and lethality, and near perfect intelligence, supposedly. We'll see if that works.
You sound skeptical.
Well, I'm not. Once I see it in action, maybe I won't be so skeptical, but...
It's a change, isn't it?
It is a change.
Such skepticism notwithstanding, officers here say this is the biggest change to hit the Army since the helicopter.
First of all, I'd like to welcome you. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Cashwell. I'm the commander of 114 Cavalry.
If the effort to transform the Army has a human face, it's Lieutenant Colonel James Cashwell, whose short, cropped blonde hair, bright blue eyes, and square jaw belong on a recruiting poster.
This is a digital projected image Everything you see on here has been overlaid electronically.
And if this the Army has a new article of faith, it's technology. Cashwell stands in front of a confusion of computer cables, keyboards, and monitors. Just listen to how the company's executive officer describes this so-called tactical operations center.
We use nothing but Windows NT systems that are hardened to provide HTML products, which are nothing but homepage products, to disseminate the information via regular internet protocols.
What all that adds up to, according to Colonel Cashwell, is a steady stream of real-time battlefield information from satellites, aircraft, scouts, and intelligence officers, all of them linked up through small remote computers, like the one inside his dusty Humvee.
So there it is. It just popped up. It says there's two tanks at that location. And the beauty of this is, as soon as I have it, every single person who's staring at the screen goes, whoa, what's that? Instantaneous.
The IBCTs represent a $7.5 billion plan the Army says will allow it to deploy anywhere in the world within 96 hours. At Fort Lewis, officers say these brigades would have been well suited to fight in Afghanistan. And Barry Posen, with MIT's Program of Security Studies, says they would have also helped in places like Bosnia or Kosovo.
It will make these forces, I think, much more capable of doing low to mid-intensity kinds of conflicts, including fairly in-your-face kinds of peace enforcement missions.
But Posen is skeptical about the light armored vehicles, which are more vulnerable and pack much less firepower than the large tanks they'll replace.
Where I think the Army has engaged in a kind of a fantasy is that this unit also will be capable of waging war against a mechanized force. 15 and 20-ton vehicles are not going to be capable of jousting with a 70-ton tank. They're just not.
Giving up their M1A1s was a shock to some of the tankers at Fort Lewis. But Lieutenant Colonel Cashwell, who used to command tanks, says better technology will allow these new, lighter brigades to fight more effectively, even without the tanks.
That is the whole point of the IBCT, is that we have sensors, surveillance, reconnaissance, and with that information dominance, you don't need to have a 70-ton tank.
So I guess the question is sort of how does the Army mindset have to change to put together an IBCT?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. We have never fought like that before. We prefer to fight the Desert Storm. I'm on your left, he's on my right, and it looks like a football field. You know, this is the soccer field of warfare. And you can have a fight that's in the northeast corner and it's high intensity. You can have a stability and support operation going on in the southwest corner.
Eventually, the Army plans to have 6 interim brigade combat teams of 5,000 soldiers each. The first will be ready to deploy by the spring of next year. This is Anthony Brooks in Fort Lewis, Washington.